This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to a playoff edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Boy, have we got a treat for you. We spend time tonight with Mike Fitzpatrick with the Michigan Man podcast, and we have a tremendous conversation. He gives us a great rundown of Michigan position groups, matchups. It's truly a great conversation. Spoiler, I am on his show, the Michigan Man podcast, so go check that out as well. And we do a very similar sort of a home and home, right? He comes on our show, talks about Michigan. I go on their show, talk about Alabama. And so give this a listen. You're going to find out that Mike is a phenomenal individual, a great Michigan fan. And then he has a phenomenal podcast as well. And we had an opportunity to be a guest there. So go check that out. All right. But enough of selling another show. You're here to listen to this show. So let's kick it to the interview. Go. All right. Welcome back, Alabama fans. And have we got a treat for you. We've got Mike Fitzpatrick with the Michigan Man podcast. Mike, how you doing this evening?
Dave, I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to join you and talk about this this great game coming up.
Man, we have a lot to talk about. We certainly appreciate you coming on. Hey, let's start, you know, let's take care of housekeeping, a little bit off the field. This has not been a drama-free season for Michigan, but here the Wolverines sit, ranked number one in the playoffs. What are your thoughts, perhaps maybe an interesting wrinkle that you've been exposed to relative to the sign-stealing storyline?
You know, I don't have really any inside information, but it has impacted the season. You know, at the end of the season, beginning of the season, Jim was out for, you know, three games and three at the end. I don't think we know. I mean, you can't get anything from anyone inside the athletic administration or the team at Michigan because they can't talk about it because it's an ongoing NCAA investigation. But, you know, from what we know, we all know the same thing about Connor Stallions and his vast network, as they're saying, scouting games in person, filming them. I guess the question now is, did any of that information make its way back to anyone on the coaching staff? Was it used in game preparation? I don't think anyone's going to know anything about that until the NCAA, you know, is done with the investigation. So, really, that's all that I know, and it really has impacted the team. You've had the NCAA in the last 3 weeks questioning players, you know, asking questions. And I think if I know one thing, it's that that's what the crux of what the NCAA is trying to get to right now. Did the players know? Did any of the coaches know when they were doing scouting and pregame for any opponents? Was any of that information used? And I don't know what the players are saying. I don't know anything about that, but it has impacted. I mean, that's the kind of thing during a season you don't want your time being, pulled aside. You're getting ready for Purdue. You're getting ready for Ohio State, and you have the NCAA in asking you questions. So I know what the public perception is, but I think I'm in wait and see mode. Let's see if Michigan dropped the ball on this. We know with the new NCAA rules that came into effect in January that the coach is responsible for everything that goes on in the program, even if he didn't know. So it is going to be interesting to see when it all comes out in the wash.
I agree. Wait and see. Hey, the media doesn't have time for patience, right? But I agree.
No.
That's how you get to sort of the true root of the story. Let's talk about Jim Harbaugh just a little bit. He's something of an interesting dude, maybe polarizing. What do Michigan fans make of him?
I think for the most part, Michigan fans really love Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he's a little bit quirky, a little bit different. His press conferences are, you don't get a lot out of his press conferences. He's an entertaining guy, but I think if you ask most Michigan fans, the first 5 or 6 years, they might have not said this, that he was the guy to turn the program around or get it back on track. But now they realize he is that guy. And yeah, does he grate on people's nerves? Yeah, he does. I mean, administration, not everyone's in love with the guy. He's a different kind of cat. But the bottom line is he solidified the program. The players love playing for him. And I think Jim Harbaugh is a good guy. He does it the right way, despite what's going on. This whole NCAA thing, that would be his reputation. So I know I'm blathering on here, but yeah, Michigan fans are very happy with Jim Harbaugh, despite everything that's gone on, especially recently.
He is surrounded by NFL talk, and some of that maybe he cultivates a little bit. How long do you think Jim stays at Michigan?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, we knew coming in, that's one of the things that all the beat writers, everyone that covered Michigan knew. They said, that's going to be there every year. NFL talk is something that's going to be there, so you better get used to it. And my thoughts are with the contract negotiation going on now, Jim is going to be 59 years old. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I mean, he's from Ann Arbor. His kids are in school. His wife loves it in Ann Arbor. So I think he's sort of at that age where, you've got 6, 7, 8 years left, whatever it is, that he'd like to stay there. But if administration, if he has issues with administration not supporting him and what's going on with the NCAA, I could see him, saying, I'm going to take one more shot at the NFL. But he's at that age. I don't know. NFL coaches are pretty darn young these days. It seems like they're getting younger.
Younger.
Is there a GM or an owner out there that wants to, take a flyer on a Jim with all of the baggage? I don't know. So my gut is he's going to stay. I think the contract negotiations are setting up for that too.
No, I think that's interesting. I think you make a good point, with his age, being a coach, college or pro, it feels like maybe he's got one run in him, right? One more sort of, set of, run that he can make. And so he can continue to persist there at Michigan, probably have tremendous success or make a run at the NFL. And it looks like maybe there's a 1 or 2 year window where maybe he needs to, make that decision. And I think he's great for college football. So I root for him to stay at Michigan, but that'll be certainly an interesting storyline to watch develop.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about, Dave, is when you're 58 or 59 years old, if you're going to go back to the NFL, usually it's because a team is just flat out hit the bottom. They want to start all over again. And then you wonder to yourself, well, at 58 or 59 years old, that's a rebuild. How long is that going to take? Do you really want to do that when you have your program where you want it to be and it's set up for, there might be a little rebuild here in the next year or two, but it's still set up for success.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. Well, let's take it to the field and let's talk about field general, JJ McCarthy. He's a veteran quarterback. I get the I my impression I get the impression that he's not asked to do a whole lot, but wow, is he effective. 74% completion percentage, 19 touchdowns on the season. What can Alabama fans expect from JJ when we match up here in a couple of weeks?
Well, I think what Alabama fans can expect is maybe a little more from JJ McCarthy. You're right. He does what he's asked to do. He fits the Michigan mold exactly the way Jim wants him to be. I wouldn't say he's a game manager. He's a very talented quarterback, but you know, when you can run the ball effectively 25, 30 times in a row, then he's okay with that. I mean, I think he's a very team oriented guy and he wants to do whatever it takes to win, and he will sacrifice the statistics. It's yeah. not about him. It's about the team. That's what I would say about JJ. But for Alabama fans, I think you're going to have to see more JJ's legs. Haven't really needed to see that a lot of the games this year. So I think they need to run him more and, you know, maybe throw the ball more. I mean, I know that we're going to have to throw the ball more. So you're going to see more of JJ. Hey, it's time. You have to empty the playbook and this is it. Show
right.
it all.
Right. Let's talk about Blake Corum. He's a true feature back, it seems. He has nearly half of Michigan's carries, nearly half of their rushing yards. He's stout, you know, 5'8", but 215. I love the bloodied nose. He seems like a football player's football player. Talk about Blake's running style, what he brings to the team.
You know, great. Blake is just one of those guys. He's really small in stature. You know, he's 5'9", maybe 5'10". He's built like a little brick wall. But I think what's tough about him, he stays so low, he runs low, and he is a great cutter. I mean, he comes out of nowhere, and he's over the years really developed physically where his tackles after contact have gone up every year. So he is he's very underrated as a pass blocker too. Not that Michigan's lighting it up throwing the ball, but he grades out every week as their best pass blocker in the running back room. So he's very explosive too. Maybe not as explosive this year. I don't know if it's as a result of the surgery last year. So we haven't seen the big runs that we did last year, but he is still, as far as an intermediate back, he's tough to bring down, and he always gets extra yards after contact. So he's just a great runner.
Donovan Edwards is second sort of in the, I'll call it a rotation. What does he bring to the mix?
Well, he brings you as a great pass receiver out of the backfield. If you've watched Michigan this year, a lot of times, if we have two backs in the game, a lot of times either he's going in motion or he's slotted, because I think the Michigan coaching staff would tell you he could be a receiver. If they decided, or he decided, I'd like to be a receiver, he has that kind of ability. He's not a great between the tackles kind of a runner. He's good for 2 or 3 yards. Last year, he had a lot up the gut because that offensive line, Joe Moore Award-winning line, was a better line. I mean, that's the way it was. He could get to the second level a lot cleaner last year. But you still want him in the game. I mean, he's capable of breaking the big ones. He's a home run hitter. But, yeah, most importantly, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, which adds a dimension and something else for the defense to have to be concerned about.
Talk about the wide receivers. I was intrigued. Two of the top five pass catchers are wide receivers. Two are tight ends, and one's a running back. Talk about the matchup opportunities that can create for Michigan.
Well, if there's something where there's a vast differential, I think between these two teams, it is the wide receiving core. Michigan's wide receiving core is they're small for the most part. Roman Wilson, small guy, very fast. We don't have anyone that's a game breaker, whether it's a Cornelius Johnson or Roman, really not. So I don't know if it's I think that it's not a mismatch. I mean, that favors Alabama because we're an intermediate passing team that likes to go to the tight ends and the backside of the backfield more often. So with those two corners that Bama has, I don't think we're going to be going over the top much. It's going to be a short passing game.
Tight ends make me nervous. Saban has said multiple times over the years in press conferences that we don't run a defense that doesn't cover the tight end. Well, he's saying that in response to how did the tight end have such a big day? And he's had to say it so many times because it happens so consistently. So we kind of joke that maybe we do run a defense that doesn't cover the tight end. And the fact that two of your top receivers are tight ends, that kind of makes me nervous. Talk about Loveland and Barner just a little bit.
Yeah, and both of those guys are real. Colston Loveland is a big-time receiver. He's a guy that came in out of Idaho, you know, a three-star guy out of Idaho, a long and lean. Now he's up around 250, 255 pounds. Great hands. Good blocker. He's not a great blocker yet, but he's a mismatch problem for most linebackers. And if I know a lot of Bama fans haven't had a chance to see Michigan play this year. Same with us. We don't get to see Bama play as much. But you'll see Colston Loveland also slotted out. You might even see him out wide sometimes because he has good wheels. They can do a lot with him. AJ is, as far as a backup tight end, outstanding. Came over from Indiana this past year. Great blocker. You'll see Michigan run a lot of two tight end sets because of that. If they can run, a lot of the reason is because those tight ends are really helping out. But he's also a very, very good receiver. And we don't have, I don't think, many favorable matchups in this game. I think using our tight ends might be an advantage. Well, it has to be an advantage for Michigan, but I don't know. With those linebackers for Alabama, they seem, every time I've seen them play, they cover pretty well. So we'll see.
You mentioned the offensive line, multi-time Joe Moore award winner. It looks like it's stacked with seniors and graduates. How is this unit coming together with the injury to guard Zach Zinter?
Yeah, that is really a good question and a big question because really, you know, the injury to Zach took place in the Ohio State game. So you had 1 week to sort of piece things together before the Big Ten championship game. And that was an ugly game against Iowa. I mean, there wasn't a lot of running room there. It's very interesting. We've had to move. We moved Carson Barnhart from right tackle to right guard. And, you know, we've got Ladarius Henderson playing left tackle now. And who knows who's going to be at right tackle against Alabama. There's a lot of talent on that offensive line. I think Michigan fans this year, they seem really disappointed in the run production and sort of point the finger at that offensive line. We're not getting the push we have the last 2 years. I think maybe a lot of it's because we were spoiled the last 2 years. You have two Joe Moore award-winning guys with a lot of those guys playing on Sunday right now.
Right.
This is a good offensive line. Is it a great offensive line? No. When you lose a consensus two-time All-American like Zach Zinter, yeah, you like to say next man up. That's what every coach says. But in reality, that's not always what you get. So this offensive line is good. It's not a great offensive line. I mean, statistically, if you look at them this year, they rank up there with the running game is a very, very good running game, but it's just not dominant like it's been the last 2 years.
You know, Mike, I think if you reached over to your shelf and pulled out that big book that says the history of Michigan football and you opened that up and you turned to just about any year and started looking at the defense, I get the impression that this year's defense is gonna correspond well to that. The top three tacklers are all linebackers. There's an aggressive end rusher. And there's an accomplished defensive back, probably the best that we've singular sort of individual DB that we've faced all season. That seems like talent at all three levels, skill contribution at all three levels. That seems to be a textbook that any coach would want in their defense, but certainly almost a hallmark of what Michigan defenses have been talked about. Talk about the relative strengths of this Michigan squad.
Well, this defense, I don't know that it's, I'm sure it's not the most talented Michigan defense that we've seen in the last 30 or 40 years. But I think it's a very deep defense, especially up front in the trenches, where you have a lot of size and you can rotate a lot of guys. I mean, nose tackles, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, both very talented guys. The edge guys, Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor, Derek Moore, Josiah Stewart, you'll see they just rotate in and out at the edges. Maybe not Aiden Hutchinson type edge guys, but they get a lot of pressure, not a lot of sacks. The secondary is good. Let me go to the linebacking core. Linebacking core has been just outstanding this year with the junior Colson, as you mentioned. Michael Barrett, a guy that doesn't get, you know, a lot of credit, just seems to always be where he is supposed to be on the field. Just outstanding. And then the secondary, there's a lot of talent back in the secondary. And you know, of course, you mentioned Will Johnson. But you've got, Josh Wallace, who's a veteran, Makari Page, Keon Saab, Rod Moore. You'll see a lot of rotation in that secondary, too. So the defense has been very good. Jesse Minter has done an outstanding job as a defensive coordinator. Not many teams have been able to run the ball consistently. I would say we, in the Big Ten, have not seen very many great passing attacks. So even though we think we have a good secondary, we haven't really seen anyone that can really light it up like a good SEC team or a Pac-12 team. So what we know is we have a solid, fundamentally sound defense that has speed, that has size, and is where they're supposed to be on the football field.
That's awesome. And hey, that's what you want, right? You want them lined up right, and you want them reading the reads right and fitting the right fits. You know, Mike, I think college football gives us some unique moments, and I've always found the unique moment between, you know, now we're in the playoffs or when it was the BCS, whatever it is, sort of that elongated period when early December the matchups are announced, and you have sort of the whole of December to just sort of bask in our team gets to go do really cool things.
Yeah,
and so that's always a fun moment to be in. We have about 18 days before I think inner circle legacy blue bloods face off Michigan and Alabama in a hallowed venue in the Rose Bowl. Michigan's favored. If Michigan is to win in advance, what needs to go right that January 1st day for the Wolverines?
Well, what would have to go right, I think, if Michigan gets what they want out of this game, is they're going to want to keep the ball. Some long time consuming drives, probably going to have to throw a little more than we have. But, you know, my thinking is, after watching college football and covering it for 40 plus years, is you don't morph into something on January 1st in the Rose Bowl that you haven't been for the most part.
Yep.
For those 12 games. So Michigan wants to run the football, sprinkle in the pass game. We might throw a few wrinkles in there. You might see a few more heavy sets, but that's the way it has to be. That's what got this team to January 1st against Alabama. They have to do that better than they have all year, more consistently, not turn the ball over. And then on defense, I think the defense is going to be fine. They're going to keep this offense in the game, but yeah, no turnovers, run the football, and have a successful, smart passing game against this Alabama defense. Just can't make mistakes.
Absolutely. That's a good recipe. Mike Fitzpatrick with the Michigan Man Podcast. Mike, we appreciate having you on. It's been a pleasure talking ball with you tonight.
Dave, it's been a pleasure talking about this huge matchup in the college football playoffs with you. We're all looking forward to it. Hope it's going to be a great game. I think it is going to be a great game. But once again, it's great to play the University of Alabama.
Absolutely. We enjoy matching up with Michigan. And so it should be a great time. I wish you a little bit of luck, not too terribly much, but a little bit of luck on that day. That's the way it works, right?
That's right, Dave. I mean, it's like I tell everyone that from the opposition that I interview each week, I hope you enjoy the game, just not too much.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Same wavelength. Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you having you on. You have a great evening.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of your Bama listeners.
Fantastic. And we're back. What'd I tell you? That was a phenomenal interview. Mike's a great guy. And the Michigan Man podcast is a lot of fun. We enjoyed talking ball with him and learning about the Michigan Wolverines, who we're going to match up with here coming up in a couple of weeks on January the 1st. Man, in the Rose Bowl too. How just phenomenal is that? Well, if you enjoyed that interview and you want some more of that conversation, or maybe the other side of that conversation, Mike was gracious enough to have me on to his show, the Michigan Man podcast. I don't know exactly when it's going to drop, but watch Twitter or X, or drop me an email, and we can share that information. But we have sort of the other half, if you will, of that conversation over on his show. And that was a great time, too. We recorded both at the same time, sort of Tuesday evening, and it was just a great opportunity to spend time talking ball. Hey, leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast download sort of vehicle. It helps people find us. And so if you enjoy what we're doing, it's an easy way just to support the show. We greatly appreciate it. We'll consider that your Christmas gift to us. And so that'll be great. If there's any questions or comments or discussions that you want to engage relative to Alabama football, don't hesitate to reach out, alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, Roll Tide, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, but always Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.